Joining us now, always good to get him back on this show. Come talk to us down here in coastal Alabama. Very appreciative of that. State Senator Larry Stutz from the Shoals region of the state. Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Jeff. Thank you for having me back on your show.
We always appreciate it. Let's get right into it. Last time we talked, we were kind of talking about the vaccine, and you were very optimistic that we could get some shots and some arms and vaccinate members of the legislature. You seemed to indicate that we were probably poised to do really well with that. Maybe things haven't gone quite as hoped or expected. Getting the vaccine just to the state seems to be a hang-up.
Well, yes and no. We did not have anything eventful as far as COVID related to us being in session the last couple of weeks. And, a good number of the members of the Senate have either had COVID or now have had the vaccine. I had my second vaccine 5 weeks ago. So I think, as we're getting more and more people vaccinated and then, of course, a lot of people have recovered from it, I think it's time to start opening things back up even more. And so I'm optimistic that we're maybe reached the peak and are on the good side of it. Our hospitalization numbers in the Shoals area have gone way down. I mean, we continue to see cases. I mean, I've seen quite a few pregnant people with COVID, and most all of them have done fine. But it's still out there. But the numbers are all headed in the right direction. So I think it's time to open things back up. Specifically related to the vaccine, some of the numbers that have been reported for Alabama are a little bit misleading. One is the case positive rate, and the reason Alabama has ranked so high with the case positive rate is the fact that Dr. Harris and the Alabama Department of Public Health have reported our numbers correctly, in that if you have multiple tests and all of them are negative, that counts as one negative test, the way they're recording the statistics. Some other states say if you had five tests and they were all negative, they would record that as five negative tests. And when it's on the same person, it should be counted as one negative test. And that's the way we're reporting the numbers. So that makes our case positive rate look substantially higher. But then as far as the vaccine, as far as the rollout with the vaccine, and it's the CDC policy, but I think it's a little bit misguided. We need to give as many first vaccines as we possibly can. Right now we're still saving doses back for the second dose for people. And if you're looking at really trying to get herd immunity and get as many people vaccinated, you need the 3 or 4 week interval when you get your second vaccine. We need to rely on the next supply of vaccines that are coming in to give that second shot. And when you get your first shot, not set a shot aside for you to get your second one, but give as many people the first shot as possible. The numbers from the trials are that after one shot, you are 4 weeks after your first shot, you have about 80% protection. So from a public health standpoint, we're a lot better off to have twice as many people with 80% protection as we are half as many people with 95% protection. So that's the only real problem I've seen with the rollout is the national policy should be give as many first shots as we possibly can.
Yeah, I guess this was an unforeseen circumstance where you had to have the booster system there, that you had to hold back some of these doses. But
you may know this, but I'll explain the reason for that. When they did the clinical trials, they were not sure that they would have protective immunity after only one shot. And, with the whole warp speed thing of trying to get the vaccine to market as quickly as possible, And when they design a clinical trial, they set the endpoints and all the parameters and all that of the trial from the beginning. And the people that were making the vaccine and starting the clinical trial were concerned that if they didn't get protective immunity after one vaccination, then they would have to start the trial over. And that would be, you know, weeks or months delay in getting the vaccine to market. So they both designed their trial from the very beginning to say, we're going to give two shots. Well, it turns out now that we have the data, one shot is fairly protective, much more protective than the regular flu shot that we get every year. An 80% protection rate is really good. And so now that we have that data, I think we need to change the policy and say, let's give as many first doses as we possibly can, because the whole idea of two vaccines was just really a precautionary measure in the design of the two clinical trials.
Yeah, well, I guess this was probably something that we were going to have to understand would be the case with any of these two shot vaccinations, which is all of them except for one, I believe, the Moderna vaccine. But is there any truth to this, though, that, and I heard this from some of your colleagues, but by holding back some of these doses, the CDC looks at it and says, well, you're not using up all your doses, so why should we give you more? We're going to ship them to another state. Is there any truth to that that suggestion?
I don't think that's accurate. I think the allocations are based on the population of the state. I don't think they're holding back doses, but the supply chain of getting the doses to the state, I mean, we could obviously be given a lot more vaccines than we have. You know, our local health department here and the hospital has had some vaccination clinics, and the limiting factor has not been the number of arms they could give it to. It's the number of vaccines that they had to give. And so the limiting factor is in the supply chain. But I think we're, don't hold me to this number exactly, but I think Alabama makes up about 1.6% of the national population. So we have been getting, if that's the right number, 1.6% of the available doses shipped to Alabama.
Well, it just sounds like that. Yeah, I guess the real root of the problem is, as Scott Harris, the state health officer, says, it's they just don't have enough doses to go around.
Right.
And that's the core of the problem.
That's the core of the problem. But like I said, I think we could better utilize the ones that we have. And again, Dr. Harris is just following the CDC guidelines of saying that, you know, if you give a vaccine, you immediately set a second dose aside for that same person. And so the last number I saw, and this is a week old, but we had given, I think, 46% of the available doses and that were available to Alabama. So if you know, of course, now we're getting past the second shot for a lot of people. But initially, you know, if you were given a vaccine and immediately setting one aside, the most you could give was 50%. And so, you know, we were doing real well at getting out the ones we had. We just didn't have enough.
Hopefully that will change very soon, just to getting more of the dosages in the system.
You know, and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you know, should be available probably within the next couple of weeks. And it is a single dose vaccine, but it's the conventional vaccine. It's not the mRNA vaccine like the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines were. It's a more conventional type of vaccination, but it does not get as high a level of protection as the two mRNA vaccines. But again, it is a single dose, so it will get some protection out there, and it's only one dose.
Joined by State Senator Larry Stutz here on the program. Senator Stutz, something you've been an outspoken critic of this idea of medicinal marijuana. I know in 2019 that was it got through your chamber, but you were kind of the voice trying to say, "Hey, let's slow this down. Let's pump the brakes here." Any of the stuff that's happened, any of the second look or the closer examination by this task force, where are you on that today? Have you changed your view on medicinal marijuana any?
I have not. And of course, the bill that we're seeing is exactly the same bill that was in the legislature last year. And I'm really against it on two fronts. One, from the medical standpoint, there is no other medicine that you have to put an adjective in front of it to make it sound legitimate, to say medical marijuana. Well, it's just marijuana. We don't say medical Tylenol or medical aspirin. Any legitimate medicines, you don't have to put an adjective in front of it to make it sound like it's real medicine. And, we have a process for approving medications, and it's served our country very well. And if medical marijuana is really medical, then it ought to go through the same process that other medications go through to be approved. And so I'm against it from that standpoint, from the medical side. But then the second reason is it's just a huge growth in government. It's basically creating a whole agency just to oversee marijuana. And, the tax money, how much money does the state need? We're looking at gaming legislation that's going to generate a lot of income for the state. And then we've got the marijuana issue that will generate a lot of revenue for the state. And, to me, with the marijuana thing, the potential for corruption is just off the chart. When you look at the very limited number of growers and processors and dispensaries, how much is the license for a dispensary in Jefferson County worth? Just the potential to stack that commission, for the commission to be in a compromised position, and you've got just a handful of people on the marijuana commission that are going to decide who gets to grow it, who gets to process it, who gets to distribute it. And again, from the medical standpoint, it totally circumvents pharmacies that have played a vital role in the safe distribution of all sorts of medications for generations. And now we're just going to have dispensaries where you can go get it, and it won't be a pharmacist running it. It'll be somebody that got the license to run it. And I think it bypasses the whole medical process, and it just grows government.
Could you see any circumstances where you would support, or whatever you want to call it, the legalization of marijuana for medicinal use, or whatever you want to use to categorize it or describe it? Is there a way there that would satisfy you to get you to even
support? No, I think as far as the bill and as far as what's before the legislature, if you want to legalize marijuana, just say you're going to legalize marijuana. But don't try to call it medical marijuana to come in the back door, go through the front door. If you look at the other states, it's always the first step, not always, but a large portion of the time, it's the first step toward legalization of recreational marijuana. And if you look at the data from, say, Colorado, and you look at marijuana utilization, when they legalized medical marijuana, there was a big increase in the amount of utilization. And then a few years later, when they legalized recreational marijuana, there was hardly any increase at all, and just a very slight increase in marijuana utilization. So the point is, when you look at the broad categories that are described in the bill, anybody that wants to get a medical marijuana or cannabis card, I think is what it's called, can get one. So, and said the data from Colorado bears that out. The people that wanted to use marijuana got a cannabis card, And then when it was just fully legalized, there was not much of an increase at all in utilization. So it's a backdoor way to increase the availability of marijuana in the state. And I don't think that's a good thing.
Last question before we got to get out of here and get to commercial break. Your colleague Senator Marsh has his gambling proposal out there unveiled on the table. Your part of the state kind of seems like it's left off, and maybe you're okay with that, any kind of gaming. But what's your initial reaction to what the current proposal is?
Well, we have a lot of gambling in the state already, and there's not really any control of it. And so I see the push towards saying it's here now, let's regulate it and let's benefit from it instead of people going out of state to gamble. The issues I have, again, is it's going to generate a lot of revenue for the state. And that's, we need some revenue. You know, we've got the issues of the lease in the prisons. That's going to be a very expensive proposition for the state for the next 30 years. And so we need to generate some revenue if we're going to have to pay for additional costs in the Medicaid that is a big impact on the general fund budget. And then the Department of Corrections is going to be a big impact on the general fund budget. So I see the need for some revenue, but again, I think gambling is a bad way to balance the state budget. I think it's a disproportionate tax on the poor people. What I would like to see happen is, if we're going to do that, is roll some other taxes back that everybody pays. If you say it's a disproportionate tax on the poor, well, let's do away with the automatic increase in the gas tax. Let's do away with part of the gross tax on groceries. Let's the things that the poorer people that pay, are going to disproportionately pay the tax on gambling. Then let's look at some things that everybody buys, gasoline and groceries, and roll the taxes back on both of those things. Those are the problems I see with the gaming legislation. I'd like to see us roll some taxes back to offset some of the gain that the state's going to realize from the lottery and from the gaming. You know, and the other issue is a lot of states go gradually with a lottery, with whatever, and right. This is full-fledged. This is from 0 to 100. It's not any incremental steps. It's legalizing casinos, lottery, all in one fell swoop. And so Alabama's going from 0 to 100 on the whole issue of gaming.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're really late here on the break, but thanks for coming on, and I always appreciate it. And stay warm and stay safe up there.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I always appreciate you asking me to be on. Thank you.
Say, Senator Larry Stutz on the program.